And again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the New Testament. Given that we have just been through Christmas, and we've been celebrating the birth of Jesus, our passage comes out of a time very early in his life. But let's pray again as we come to the Word of God. Heavenly light, shine, we pray. Light that cleanses us, light that lifts us, light that loves us and sets us free. Come, lead us, shine. Bless us, Lord. For you have rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son, whom you love. And we praise you. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever had someone believe in you, maybe when you weren't even sure why? Usually there's someone like that in your life if you've lived long enough. It's a beautiful gift. It's a gift from God to see good in others and then to hold it up for them to see. If you've been on the receiving end of that, you know. I had an English teacher like that in high school, a speech teacher also. They were well aware of my faults, but for some reason or another, they just liked me. And God used that in my life, and you know, sometimes you can see it in someone's eyes when they believe in you. And that is an absolutely beautiful thing. They believed in me in my life and in a time when I was struggling in many ways. And we need that. We need others to believe in us. And we need to be people who believe in others and affirm them with God's Spirit and love leading us in this. This is God's intention for the church. The church is to be a place where we build each other up in love. Now, does correction have to happen? Yes, absolutely. Sometimes it does. But that isn't the norm. The norm is to be an encouraging body of faith. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:16 writes that our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father give eternal encouragement. And if you read that, again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's a prayer that the church will be kept in this eternal encouragement. And you also see this in our scripture reading this morning. It's again in Luke, and I hope you're joining us for this two-year reading through the Old and New Testaments this year and the next. We've just started, and again, it's so soon after Christmas. It seems appropriate to go into one of the few stories that we have from Jesus' childhood, where he was presented to the Lord at the temple at 8 days of age. This was what was required in Judaism for a firstborn son. So as Joseph and Mary bring Jesus into the courtyard, there's this guy who shows up. And I can only imagine the light in his eyes, the look on his face. I mean, there would have been a number of babies there that day, but God led Simeon specifically to Jesus. And let's read about it in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and following. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. So Simeon is an interesting cat. We don't know much about him except that he was old and righteous and devout. We also know that the Holy Spirit was on him, which is something that you really want to take note of because he's unique. Remember that in the Old Testament, you see the Holy Spirit being, you know, put on certain people for certain things at certain times. The filling of the Spirit doesn't really come until the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost hasn't happened yet. So here is the Holy Spirit on Simeon as he takes Jesus in his arms. And he has been waiting for years to see the Messiah. And that's this beautiful thing happening here. Simeon clearly has had a gift of faith about this. Now, there is a specific gift of faith in Scripture. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is a real thing. And some people have it in perpetuity through their lives. Sometimes God gives it for specific circumstances. I don't have it in perpetuity. I've known people who have. I have had it for certain circumstances. I believe Bruce is someone who has the gift of faith in perpetuity, however. I think of when we were building this building, and I knew somehow that God was going to make a way for us. I knew it. I could not tell you how I knew it, except that I was assured of it. I was certain that it was going to happen. Bruce, likewise, had that same certainty. It's this working that God does within. It's as if God, please listen carefully, it's as if God, who exists outside of time, is able to reach into the future, into a particular circumstance, take something out of it that is there, and place it within you. And you know. It's as if you've been brought into that moment, and you see it already. This is part of what is going on, I believe, in Simeon's heart and mind. Simeon knew he would see the Messiah so much that he considered it a promise from God. Now, I think that's fascinating. But just look at the way this is worded. First in verse 26, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, now pause there. Think about that. Do you see how Simeon is moving? Do you see how he's functioning? He's in the moment with God. He's attentive to what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's listening. Moved by the Spirit, he goes into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus for him to do what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised." Now, again, there's a lot going on here. First, imagine Joseph and Mary when Simeon holds out his arms. Give me that baby. I mean, just give me that baby. I mean, we don't know, again, much about Simeon. Some assume that Simeon is a priest simply because he took the child in his arms, but we don't know that. He's not called a priest by Luke. He's called a man who was righteous and devout. So Mary and Joseph walk in, and there is this guy whose face is just, I mean, he's glowing, and it's, oh, here he is. Here he is. And you can imagine how they must have felt under that circumstance. It's like, what? I mean, they knew in their own hearts, but what is happening here? And you can see Simeon just holding this baby and looking on him in love. Just look at you, look at you. You got to understand, this is the reason Simeon is alive. And it is an absolutely beautiful moment. No wonder Luke, who seems to give us Mary's perspective for much of his gospel and writing, says in verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. So again, he looks on Jesus with this delight. And you see that, you know that because of what he says in a moment. But he knew. He knew. And if you keep on reading in the prophecy, basically it is a prophecy. You know, he says some hard things. I mean, he looks at Mary, says a sword will pierce your own soul too. But the main message here is light and love. So Simeon, this is the interesting thing. It's one of the things that fascinates me about him. Even though there is this prophecy, Simeon's not called a prophet. Again, Luke doesn't call him a prophet. And, you know, sometimes, yes, you see in extra biblical writings later historically because he prophesied, people call him a prophet, but Luke doesn't. So let's stop there. I mean, the fact of the matter is, look at what Simeon's doing. If Simeon is a man who's righteous and devout, and he's prophesying, he's a regular guy who is righteous and devout. He knows what God has shown him. He knows that God has shown him that he's going to see the Messiah. And that just, it makes me wonder, how about you and me? What is it that God wants to show you and me as we live? What are the things that he wants to make known to you that he wants to do, that he longs to do? Maybe it's in your life. Maybe it's in someone else's life. But through his Spirit, God is able to do this. I've seen him do it again and again. I remember when both of my children were far from the Lord, and Carrie and I were praying for them with friends and a man who's a pastor and his wife, and he had a son who was also struggling with addiction. And we went up after a communion service at the presbytery, the larger governing body of the church, and we were just joining in prayer. And while we were praying for my kids, this man, after we prayed, said, you know, while we were praying, I saw two arrows, and both of them turned. They didn't turn at the same time. One would turn sooner than the other. And he said, I really believe that is from the Lord. And I felt that in my spirit as he spoke to me. I have seen that happen. One has turned. One still needs to. But we will continue to pray. God's Spirit moves among us. In ways that are difficult for us to categorize or define. And the question is, are we open? Now keep in mind, we have to stay close to the Word of God. We have to stay in fellowship with other believers and listen for the counsel of God's wisdom and God's Spirit. But are you open to this adventure of faith? That God is living and active today, truly, not just in the pages of this book, but in our lives, in wonderful ways. He wants to be. He wants to be invited in. And as you and I pray that way, looking first to Him, not to our experiences. And that's really important, because if we look to our experiences, often we can be led into error. We have to live for Him in the moment. But as we do, He leads us. He shows Himself to His people. And when He does, you know what He's doing. And it may not make sense to anyone else, but it will make sense to you, because He knows you that intimately and that deeply. Now, it will always be in accord with His Word and with the wisdom of His teaching. But again, we want to be people like Simeon, attentive, watching, waiting. Just look at this anointed prayer. As soon as he takes Jesus in his arms, he starts to pray, Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. By the way, that word for sovereign is an interesting one. it has to do with absolute power. It's actually, if I'm not mistaken, if I recall correctly, it's related to the word despot. the English word is drawn from that same concept of absolute power. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel. Now, this prayer is sometimes called the Nunc Dimittis in Latin. It means literally, now dismiss. Now dismiss. So, now dismiss me in peace. God, just release me. I've seen it. Simeon's saying, I can die now. My life has been fulfilled. It doesn't get any better than this. This is the moment I have been living for. My eyes have seen your salvation. Here he is. And again, this is amazing, because Jesus is just a baby. But do you see how Simeon sees? He sees because the Spirit of God is upon him, giving him wisdom. And this is why you and I want to pray continually for the Spirit of God to fill us. As Scripture says, an accurate translation, keep on being filled with the Spirit. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. Again, there are many nations coming into the temple. They may have just been in the outer court when they walked in, which is the court of the Gentiles. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Revelation, the revealing of God's truth. Simeon knows what he's talking about because he's familiar with the work of the Spirit in hearts and lives, especially in his own. Because keep in mind those words, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Now, let's pause there for a moment. And please think about this carefully. What has God promised to you? I mean, we clearly know and can stand on the promises of His Word. And in the promises of His Word, as we seek Him, He meets us afresh. And sometimes He speaks to us things specifically about our lives. This is one of the beautiful things about Him, because He is personal. He has purposes for our lives, and it may take years for them to unfold or for us to understand them. But the sooner we discover this, the more blessed we can be. The less we find ourselves kicking against the goads, if you will, as Paul did, fighting against the things that God wants to do in our lives. I remember when I was 13 or 14, and I was reading some Christian devotional books, I had this passion within that said, I want to do this someday. I want to do this. I want to write books that will help people draw close to Jesus. Now, that didn't happen until I was in my 40s. But again, it was one of those circumstances where God took something out of the future and put it into my heart and gave me a vision for what was to be. And I'm wondering, where are places like that in your life? What dreams, what promises even? Because keep in mind, that's the way Simeon saw it. I'm not going apart from the Word of God in this. You may now dismiss your servant. As you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Well, how do we know Simeon isn't just referring, you know, generally to God's promises? Because of the way Luke tells it, it had been revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Mark that. That's the context. So the important thing in this is to realize God communicated directly for Simeon's life. And it's this beautiful thing. You and I are called to be like Simeon, to look to our loving Lord, to keep our eyes on Him, to listen for the Spirit, to move in the moment with Him. And as we do, His purposes for us are fulfilled. And when it happens, you will know it. He will do it. And you will praise Him for it. Just like Simeon. So the question I would ask is just taking this simple circumstance, are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you looking for what only God can do? Not again, at your experience, but looking to Him, trusting Him to take care of the rest as you serve Him. He will sort it all out. He will show you what is of Him, what is not of Him. Sometimes our dreams have to die because we have so much of ourselves in them. That certainly happened with me. But it actually still turned out to be something that was of the Lord. where he lifted it up after it was surrendered to him. But go to him who made you and knows you and loves you and knows his purposes for you. Because this is the thing we don't want to miss. There's no one like him. There's nothing like his love. There's nothing like the adventure of walking with him in faith. Because he is real. And he has ways of breaking into our lives that we will see. Paul wrote it this way, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20. So where will he lead? What will he do? Remember that as we go there, it must stay in keeping with his word. You know, none of this, well, the Lord has promised me I'm going to win the lottery. Uh-uh. You and I are never too young. We're like Simeon, never too old to discover the joy and wonder of living in a relationship with him. God, who moved on that day in Simeon's heart, is still the same. Able to do the same in your heart and mine. Maybe that's a good place for us to finish and to begin. Lord, where do you want to go today? What do you want to do? Help me to love you. Help me to look to you. Help me to stay close. But Abba, Father, yes. Let's go. Let's wrap up with his prayer again. Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Our God waits to reveal himself in his word, in his truth, and in his person to you and me. Lord, bless us, help us to come to you, to look to you, to know you first, and to know your word, and through your spirit, to know your plans. Lord, you are good, and you lead us into the truth of your way and into the wonder of the things you would have us do for your kingdom. Help us to go there, we pray. In Jesus' name.